Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. God has sent us not to be served, but to serve. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, what? Flowing over. As you give and worship, as you come before Him with thanksgiving, I'm going to know to give God thanks. It's usually a good idea to make it verbal and audible. Say thank you if somebody gives you a gift. Amen. It's one thing just to look at them and say, well, great. But to say thank you, I appreciate you. You're so awesome. Isn't that how thanksgiving translates into praise? When we have a grateful heart, we will praise the one that we receive from. And we do that with words. Do you know that calling on the name of the Lord in the Bible is actually to shout His name? It means to cry out with an audible shout. To pierce the ears, it means. So when we call upon the name of the Lord, amen, it's loud. It's audible. And I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when I was feeling so beaten down by the enemy that all I needed to do was just shout the name of Jesus. And that thing was immediately broken. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up this morning. Amen. If you need something broken off of you today, we're going to cry out to the name that is above every name. Amen. And devil, we put you on notice right now that you are not welcome in this place. We bind all the works of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to call out that name. Amen. Because there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Every chain. Are you ready to do this? Now the devil hates this. And so that's why we're going to do it. Amen. We're going to cry out three times as loud as we can. The name of Jesus. Amen. Let everything the Bible says that has breath, that would qualify you and me. Amen. Do you have breath today? How many know God gave you that breath? So with your breath, give God praise. Amen. Let's cry out to the name of Jesus. You need freedom today. You need deliverance. Call out to the name of Jesus. Amen. Call on His name. On the count of three, we're going to shout Jesus three times. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your freedom and your deliverance in this place today. One, two, three. Jesus! 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 I remember years ago, R.W. Shambach. I might remember R.W. Shambach. Somebody says, you know, God's not hard of hearing. But RJ said, or W said, but he's not nervous either. There's a time when you just need to shout. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How many just sensed some freedom in this house when you shouted His name? Amen? Amen? You mean that? Hallelujah. I receive that today. I believe God wants His people to be more audible. Be speaking His name, sharing His name with others. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've been praying. We've been having a great time doing the five at five, Monday through Friday, every night. Guys, this next week we're going to do it again. Hope you can come. If not, join us at home. But at 5 o'clock, we're just having time of just storm in heaven. We're having praise and worship. And just, it's been good. It's been really refreshing for us. But the point of it is not so that we get refreshed. It's that God will intervene in our nation. Amen. And intervene in the lives of others. Amen. So we're not in this just for self. Amen. We want to be in a position where we can bless others. Amen. And God has called us to this type of ministry. Amen. Intercession. As a royal priesthood in the New Testament, if you're born again, you are a priest unto God. Amen. So as a priest, we are to pray. We are to stand in the gap on behalf of others. Amen. We represent Jesus to the world, and the world we bring to Jesus. Amen. So as we pray, as we intercede, nothing happens, guys, until we invoke heaven's divine influence in the earth realm. Because God has given the church that responsibility. So a powerless church is a prayerless church. Okay, we're going to get into that today. God bless you and thank you for coming. The title of the message this morning is Persevering in Prayer. Persevering. It's easy to get discouraged when we don't see instant results. Things don't happen the way we think they should, or look like the way we think they should. But how many know that if you would call on God and acknowledge God in all your ways, He is faithful to direct your path? Amen. And so we have to wait on God's timing. And Isaiah 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. All right. Persevering, though. We used to have a term called praying through, right? Got to pray through to the realm of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes we're just like piddling around in the kiddie pool and just barely scratching the surface. God wants you to go deep into His heart. Come on. Into the realm of the Holy Spirit, where you're getting past the place where you're struggling into a place where you're just resting. Amen. And empowered by the Holy Spirit to do the work of God. So it's the Lord, amen, that does the work. But He partners with people. He calls us to partner with Him. I'm going to talk some more about that. In the Garden of Eden, mankind had unhindered communication with God. Amen. Because mankind had unbroken fellowship with God. Until, of course, sin entered into the picture. But the good news is that where Adam failed in his disobedience, Jesus Christ, the second Adam, overcame, and He became earth's rightful king. So He won back what Adam had lost. Through transgression, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness, went to the cross, and dealt with the sin problem. So today, God offers forgiveness of sins because of what Jesus did. And how many know that He whom the Son sets free is free indeed? So if you're in Christ, you are free from the power of sin. And you have to walk free from the power of sin. Now, Jesus, through His sinless life, His death on the cross and resurrection, was able to restore our fellowship with the Father once again. So now He sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, amen, crying out, Abba, Father. When you're born again, you have a renewed relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's what we mean by the new birth, amen. You can't, in Adam, please God. In Adam, all die. In the natural man, amen, there's no way for us to please God. We must be born of His Spirit and receive a new nature, a new heart. And this new heart desires the things that God desires. And this new heart hates the things that God hates. So this is one way you can tell if you're in Christ, is you will love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates. So Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So Jesus, as the King over the earth, He has transferred this earthly authority back to those, you and I, the church, who believe in Him. So as sons and daughters through the new birth, we have been given full rights as citizens of heaven to approach our Father's throne and to do so with confidence because the blood of Jesus Christ qualifies us to be in the Father's presence. We don't come on our own terms. We don't come based upon our own righteousness before God. Well, Lord, I've been such a good person. You should do this for me. Right? But that's how we think naturally. Natural man is always trying to earn credit or do something to be accepted. How many know that it was God who decided to first give Jesus? Amen. And it was Jesus who decided to lay His life down for us willingly because He knew we could not save ourselves. And so Jesus became our sacrifice. For me, He died. For you, He died. Amen. He died in our place. to restore us to fellowship with the Father. So now we can come with confidence to our Father's throne of grace by way of the blood of this new covenant that Jesus shed for us, because that blood, amen, of Jesus, as a high priest, Jesus himself went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood and sprinkled that on the altar, amen, on the mercy seat that is in the presence of God the Father, on behalf of the sins of the world. And those who will call on him and those who will repent, truly repent, that mercy, amen, can be extended to those folks, amen. People can be saved. People can be forgiven. It didn't matter how bad it was. God paid for all that. Jesus paid for every sin ever committed. And God laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. So there's freedom, there's deliverance, there's healing in the blood of Jesus. Amen. Because of what Jesus did, I can walk as a free man today, knowing that I have access to my Father's throne, not based upon how good I think I am, but because of his goodness and because he's made me good in Christ. Because Jesus is my righteousness. I don't put my faith in me, but my faith in Jesus. For by faith are ye saved, right? By grace you're saved through faith. So now we can pray, thy kingdom come. Well, Jesus taught us to pray that way. Do you think it's important that we pray if Jesus taught us to pray? Do you think Jesus wants us to pray? All right, good. Satan is aware of our right to affect what happens on the earth through prayer. All right? Because prayer is so important. Satan will try to do anything to stop you from praying. Does anybody beside myself know what I'm talking about here? This is, right? This is, we're in a war, we're in a battle, and he is constantly trying to discourage people from prayer. He fears prayer. Because prayer invokes God's divine influence in the earth realm that destroys his works, stops what he's trying to accomplish. And that's why it's so important. And that's why he hates it. And he's going to do everything he can to stop you and I from praying. And that's why we must persevere and overcome the temptation to be lazy. We have to get our flesh under control. That sin nature has to be under our feet. And we can only do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, who will enable us to pray effectively. We need God's presence. So if Satan can distract us from praying, he can hinder the will of God in our personal lives as well as on the earth in the affairs of men. It's important as believers that we learn how to pray correctly as well. Our Father who art in heaven. Who are we addressing when we say God? Does he have a name? Yes, he's given a name. Amen. A name above every name. We can pray to the Father. Jesus said, in my name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So God responds to faith. Faith is believing that God will do what he said he would do. So if we pray the prayer of faith according to his will, if that prayer is offered by a person who is in right standing with God, that prayer will be answered. What are the conditions of effective prayer? I want to go over these again. Number one, praying according to the will of God. 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So how can we know the will of God? Well, how about through the written word of God, amen, and by the indwelling Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. It didn't stop there. For the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, that we may know what? The things that are freely given to us by God. Yeah. So if we have the Holy Spirit, amen, the Holy Spirit is the one that will lead you into truth. He's the one that will reveal to you the will of God so you know how to pray. You pray by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit always agrees with the written word of God. Praying the word. Now, the way we pray is in the name, right? We talked about the name of Jesus. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What's the condition? John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Amen. We need to pray in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the heart of the Father. He knows the will of the Father. And He reveals the will of the Father to us so we can be in cooperation with the Holy Spirit. How many know that the Holy Spirit doesn't work independent of us? In the sense that if it's according to God's will, we have to be in alignment with God's will as well. We'll talk about that. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, I've struggled with that a lot. I've heard a lot of different teachings on that, but I believe this is what it's saying, and this is how I see it. P.C. Nelson said the literal Greek translation indicates groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. The verse is referring to praying in tongues. The groanings that well up inside us during prayer come out of our spirit. They cannot be put into regular speech. So the Holy Spirit works with us, in us. He doesn't do this apart from us. If so, there would be no need to pray about anything because the Holy Spirit would be doing all the praying without us. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like, okay, well, the Holy Spirit's doing all the praying, so I don't have anything to do with this. Amen? It's not what it's saying. It's saying that we're working in partnership with the Holy Spirit. We're in agreement with the Lord. Amen? In His will as we pray. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit has been sent to us, the church, to empower us to work. To do what? Empower us to work. What's that? To do God's will. Why do we receive the Holy Spirit? So that we can be a witness for Jesus. Amen? John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, there's something I must do. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Now, the helper on any job is not the one responsible for the job. If somebody's helping out on the job site, they're assisting you in the work. Can you say amen? So He's there to help the one who's supposed to do the job. Mm-hmm. Well, God will get it done. Yeah, He's going to get it done through those who will cooperate with Him. And if you choose not to cooperate with Him in this, He will find somebody else that's willing to obey Him. So we can find encouragement, though, in the fact that the Holy Spirit comes alongside us, doesn't He? To help us in our weakness. Another condition of effective prayer is, of course, faith. We must ask, believing in our hearts that we receive it. Pray as though it's already done. Prayer has evidence, amen? Faith has evidence. Prayer has results when it's a prayer of faith. Our prayers should be answered. If you're not having any of your prayers answered, there's usually a problem, and I want to talk about that. Effective prayer is praying in faith. James 1:5, remember this? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Sometimes I've prayed for people and for something going on, And as soon as you finish praying the prayer of faith, they say, well, I got to go see my doctor. I got to go do this. I got to do that. In other words, it's not like they were even receiving anything you said. They were just like, oh, you can pray for me, but then I'm getting ready to go see my doctor. Now, is it okay to go see the doctor? Yes. If God directs you to go see a doctor, go see a doctor. Amen. But how many know that God sometimes just wants to, you know, manifest himself and be glorified in a miracle that someone received a divine healing? Amen. That Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he's alive. He's risen from the dead. Amen. He's with us. He sent his Holy Spirit here. And God can heal today. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But when you pray, come into agreement that I'm going to believe to receive it now. Because I think sometimes that very attitude is aborting the promise of God because it's not in faith. So many times I say, immediately after you pray, they start talking about, well, I got this and I'm going to go see the doctor now about this. And we just prayed. Believe first. Jesus and I get sick. Amen. You have to drag us kicking and screaming to the doctor. Because we're always going to pray and seek God, amen, and do whatever. Sometimes God will just give us an instruction, maybe a lifestyle correction, hello. Quit eating that stuff. Start eating this. Prayerless Christians become passive Christians. I don't want my prayers to be lifeless and stale and without power. Nothing worse than being in a dead prayer meeting. The effectual, fervent prayer. This is the word of God. Avails much. And that fervency comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that energizes. He's the one that quickens us. Doesn't mean you have to shout, but your prayer should be full of the power of God. Amen. If you're praying in the Holy Spirit, you're praying in the power of God. And that's an effective prayer. Amen. Because the Spirit knows the heart of the Father, the mind of the Father. Amen. And so if you're asking anything according to the will of God, that means you're praying in the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's going to hear that prayer. But it adds one more thing. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That means you have to be in right standing with God too. We're going to talk about that. All right. But a passive Christian is a powerless Christian. And how many know that passive Christians bear no fruit? And without fruit, we can't bring glory to the Father. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Here, the example of Elijah, right, is given as an encouragement for us to pray for those who have sinned and wandered away from the Lord. That's what we're doing. We're praying for the lost. We're praying for the backslider. We're praying for America. We're praying for an awakening. Amen. We're praying for revival in the church.
Amen.
That the church will wake up out of slumber. Shake yourself like Samson did. Break out of the complacency. Break it off of you. If you have to shout, amen, to break it off, shout the name of Jesus. The effective, fervent prayer. The prayer of a person whose heart is right with God works wonders. I'm going to say it again. Prayerless Christians become passive Christians. Passive Christians are powerless Christians. Powerless Christians do not bear the fruit of the Spirit. Without fruit, we cannot bring glory to our Heavenly Father. James, again, he's talking about Elijah as being just a regular human being with like passions as we are. Amen. He wasn't a perfect man. But Elijah was a man of faith. Elijah believed God. Elijah persevered in prayer. Amen. Elijah would pray until something happened. Elijah wouldn't quit. Amen. And he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain on the earth. And guess what? It didn't rain. And so we're to take encouragement that, hey, Elijah was just like you and I. Just like you and I. Just people, human beings with our flaws. But he prayed earnestly. Because he prayed in faith, because it was in agreement with what God wanted, The answer was on its way. Amen. The answer came. Do you believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him?
Yes.
Amen. Right. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So here's important, guys, that before we approach the Lord, we should examine ourselves, and we should ask the Holy Spirit to do that. How many know the Holy Spirit does a much better job of examining us than we do of ourselves? Because we can always give ourselves grace. It wasn't that bad. Right? But it's the grace of God that saves you, and it's the grace of God that delivers you. It's the grace of God that brings forgiveness to your life. It's not the grace you give yourself. You can't pat yourself on the back and say, I'm such a good person, because it's only Jesus that makes us good. Jesus himself said, there's none good. None. We've all sinned and fallen short. So God uses imperfect people, imperfect vessels, amen? But all we got to do is we got to come to him with an honest heart, amen, of repentance. And Lord, if there's anything in my life that is not right, I want it settled right here and now. I confess and renounce every sinful way. Amen? And thank him in faith for his mercy that he has made available to us because of his blood that's there in the mercy seat that speaks on behalf of those who will call on his name. Amen? That your sins can be blotted out and God won't hold it against you anymore. So you can have confidence in approaching the throne of grace. It's important that we examine ourselves. That's what we do in Holy Communion, right? 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And as we come to the Lord's Supper, we should do so in a judged condition. Sin should be confessed and forsaken. Restitution should be made where it's possible. Amen. You got to make it right with people. Amen. That you've offended or done wrong to. And apologies, right, should be offered to those that we've offended. That's hard to do, but by the grace of God, we can do it. 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And how do we judge ourselves correctly? By the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit, who knows the secret things. Amen. How many know God knows the secrets of your heart? He knows where you really live. Amen. Anybody can put on a facade. Anybody can put on their Christian Sunday morning face. Amen. But God knows what's really going on. I don't know about you. I just want to be authentic. Amen. Because there are no secrets with the Lord. Amen. And we also need to have an environment where if people come in, they're going to have their baggage as they come in. And we want to let them know that, listen, we're all in this together. We're going to help you through this. Amen. There's mercy. There's forgiveness. There's grace. Amen. We don't want you to stay where you're at, but God will heal you. He'll deliver you and he'll give you that new heart. And then you'll start to want to do the things he wants. You'll desire the things he desires because you get that new heart. Amen. So we have to be patient with each other in this process. Just like God's been patient with us. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, here's a couple examples of what can hinder your prayer. There could be a legitimate reason why your prayers aren't being answered. And here's number one, is selfishness. We just read that. And from James chapter 4, verse 3. And ask, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, God is not going to answer prayer that would exalt our flesh. Another hindrance is secret sin. Come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he did for me. Psalm 66:16. For I cried out to him for help, praising him as I spoke. Listen to what he said in verse 18. If I had not confessed the sin of my heart, the Lord would not have listened. You understand? There are things that God is dealing with us about. If we don't listen, if we don't cooperate with him in this, then your prayers are going to be hindered. If God says stop, you stop. If he says go, you go. Get in right step with the Lord. Amen. And then your prayers will be unhindered. Another one is unbelief, certainly, right? Lack of faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. Unforgiveness. You know, whenever you pray, Jesus said, Mark 11:25, Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Oh. We're talking about hindrances to prayer. Another one is impatience. Amen? Abraham got impatient. Ask. Yes. Seek. Knock. But sometimes it's just like this, and it's yes, it's no, or it's wait. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to wait on the Lord's timing. But how many have discovered that God's timing is perfect? If we get what we want when we want it every time, we'll make a mess of our lives. Amen. He's much smarter than we are. But our society is like this. It's instant gratification. I want it now. And people get mad at God because he doesn't do things instantly in the manner that they think he should. Now, Abraham prevailed in prayer and faith because he did not stagger at the promise of God. Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, God had promised him, he was also able to perform. Here it says faith in the heart. In other words, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Abraham had that kind of faith. I'm not going to waver at unbelief. And in unbelief, I'm going to believe until I see. Amen. You're praying for loved ones. You're praying for lost loved ones. Amen. Is it God's will that your loved ones be saved? Yes. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Pray. Amen. And don't give up, because sometimes people's prayers have gone on after they have left. Amen. This planet to be with Jesus. Amen. The prayers that they had offered. Amen. Are still effectually working in loved ones that were left behind, and they get saved. Because they didn't give up. Every time you pray in agreement with the will of God, amen, the Holy Spirit is working. He's active, amen. So don't give them a break, amen. Keep on praying for your loved ones until they're so miserable that they say, I give up. And I even pray that sometimes. Lord, make them miserable in their sin. Another hindrance is an unwillingness to cooperate with God. Lack of obedience. Jesus said in John 15:14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Amen. Again, God responds to the prayer of faith according to his will from a person who is in right standing with him. Prayer is for all God's people, not just for some. Well, they have a prayer ministry. Hello. If I understand my Bible correctly, we all have a prayer ministry. We've been called, number one, amen, to seek the Lord, to call upon his name, to have a relationship, a fellowship with our Father, amen. So everybody's been called to a prayer ministry. Are we going to cooperate with God in that ministry that we might see his kingdom come and his will be done on earth? See, the enemy knows that the power of God to defeat him is released through persevering prayer and praise. The enemy knows that his power is defeated. Amen. His works are destroyed through persevering prayer and praise. So he's going to do everything he can to try to stop you and I. And he can't stop you unless you listen to his lies. Because he's only going to try to discourage you from doing it. He's going to try to distract you from doing it. He's going to try to get you preoccupied with so many things that you don't have time just to settle down for a little while with God in his presence. Jesus said, could you not wait 1 hour? Amen? Pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have to overcome our flesh. You cannot allow your flesh, your old nature, to rule you. You have to be a man and woman of prayer to persevere and break through, amen, and get into the realm of the Holy Spirit. And you're going from that handsaw to a power saw, amen? It's a whole lot easier if you just rely upon God's grace and his power, amen? And once you get into that place, stay, maintain an attitude of prayer throughout your day. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. The importance of prayer must never be underestimated. I'm going to finish with this. We cannot stand against the enemy without prayer. You cannot stand against your enemy without prayer. Some people think they are, but they're not. Some people are captive and not even aware of it. We cannot overcome our weakness without prayer. We cannot reach the lost without prayer. You won't even care about the lost without knowing the heart of God through prayer. Prayer changes things. We've got that above the ladies' bathroom. Prayer changes things. Let us pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for your word today, that you've called your people, Lord, to prayer. Lord, it is our call as a royal priesthood to come before you to invoke your divine influence in the earth realm, to pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done here on the earth. Lord, I pray that you'd stir up all of us. Stir us up, Lord, to pray. Help us to stir ourselves even, Lord, to shake ourselves, to break out of the apathy and to begin to seek you once again, to call upon you and pray until, Lord, we get free from ourselves and from the hindrances of our own flesh. Take us into the Holy of Holies by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I ask you to liberate the captives, to set the captives free. Lord, I ask you to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf. Lord, I ask you to heal the sick. Lord, I ask you to save the lost. And Lord, I ask you to reconcile those who have wandered away. Bring us back to you. Bring us back to that old landmark, Lord, where we make a new commitment and begin a fresh start. Today is the day that the Lord has made. And today is the day of salvation, of healing, of deliverance. Today is the day for the people of God to call upon him, to call upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Look upon the Lord. Oh, let the glory of a God from heaven come down. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. This is by Derek Prince, and it's a prayer of deliverance. And I'm asking everybody that you're here today and there's things that you're dealing with in your life. Maybe you feel bound in certain areas of your life. You need deliverance. You need healing. This is a very powerful prayer, and it's a prayer in agreement with the Word of God. And I want us to do this together today. Are you okay with that? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say it, and I want you to repeat it, okay? But pray to Jesus, amen, and from your heart. And just say, Lord Jesus, if I've sinned, forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and the only way to God, that you died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I might be forgiven and receive eternal life. I renounce all pride and religious self-righteousness and any dignity that does not come from you. I have no claim on your mercy except that you died in my place. I confess all my sins before you and hold nothing back. And I want you to take the moment. I especially confess, what is it that the Lord's brought before you right now? Just confess it to Jesus. Take time. Holy Spirit, what is it that I need to confess right now? Thank you, Lord. Now receive it. Amen. Just receive it. Say, thank you, Lord. Have you forgiven everybody? Let's do it again. I repent of all my sins. I turn away from them. And I turn to you, Lord Jesus, for mercy and forgiveness. Now we need to forgive all other people. Amen. By a decision of my will. I'll say it again. By a decision of my will, I freely forgive all who have ever harmed or wronged me. I lay down all bitterness, all resentment, and all hatred. And now I want you to take a moment. Specifically, I forgive. And I want you to name that person that you forgive. I forgive you in Jesus' name. Just tell that person, God's brought somebody before you. Talk to them. Let them go. Say, I forgive you. You owe me nothing. The debt is canceled. You're free to go. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Hallelujah. Some of you need some take some time just to clean up right now. Just get it off your back. Amen. Let those people go. Not because they deserve it, because it's the right thing to do. Just like we didn't deserve what Jesus did for us. But he loved us anyways. So we also need to forgive one another. Just let him go. I forgive you. You owe me nothing. Today I cancel the debt. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that I am free from that. I receive my forgiveness. Hallelujah. What we're going to do is we're going to break with the occult and all false religion. Okay? I sever all contacts I have ever had with the occult or with all false religion. And now I want you to speak whatever it is that you've been involved with in the past, whether it's tarot cards or Ouija board or witchcraft or just false cults, Christian cults. I want you just to renounce that right now in Jesus' name. I sever all contacts with these groups, with these spirits of false religion. In Jesus' name, I renounce all the hidden things of darkness. In Jesus' name. Yes, I sever all ties to the occult. In Jesus' name. Now prepare to be released from every curse over your life. Lord Jesus, I thank you that on the cross you were made a curse that I might be redeemed from every curse and receive God's blessing. On that basis, I ask you to release me and set me free to receive the deliverance I need. Hallelujah. Now say, I take my stand with you. Let's stand up. I take my stand with you, Lord Jesus, against all Satan's demons. I submit to you, Lord. I resist the devil. I reject the devil. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I speak to any demons that have control over me. I command you to go from me now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I expel you. Ooh. Now listen, each time you feel a release, praise and thank God for it. Amen? Why? Because praise and thanks is toxic to the devil. Hallelujah. We're going to do that one more time. Now I speak to any demons that have control over me. I command you to go from me now. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I expel you. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask everyone to kneel down right where you're at, if you can, to kneel down. And ask Jesus to be Lord over every area of your life. Hallelujah. Lord, over every area of my life, Lord. Lord, I ask you to come into every room, every void, every place, God, of my soul, of my spirit, God. I want you to fully, Lord, possess me with your Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Lord, to be Lord over all of me, over my mind, over my body, over my spirit, over my soul. Yes, Lord, I give you permission to have your way in me. Lord, rule over me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I declare I am free in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Every knee will bow to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel the sense of freedom and the deliverance that's taken place this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost for a while. This is between you and Jesus. It's not a message tongue. Just pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Thank you, God. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for deliverance. Thank you for healing and restoration and for renewal, Lord God. Thank you for changed hearts and changed lives. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Hallelujah. If you've received Jesus today, you need to tell somebody. Hallelujah. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. Hallelujah. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father and the holy angels. So, Lord, we confess you. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whenever the devil knocks on your door again, let Jesus answer it. Don't try to fight the demons by yourself. It is your responsibility to keep your house clean. Go and sin no more. Amen. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. Immediately go to Jesus. Confess it. Amen. And renounce it and receive his forgiveness. Stay clean and stay filled.